sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
That's what's up! Hey yo! Sit down! There we go. Okay. Here's another day at the stoplight. I'm looking in the mirror so I can see who can see me. South Central is putting Be Black to the test with four brothers in the SS. Now I can't go around and go back up, so I got a peep game laying in the cut. Is this a jack or a kidnap? Since I'm never slipping, I'm fully strapped. I grabbed the gat out of the glove. Do these fools got a problem with me or do they got love? And when the light turned green, I don't bone out. Cause I want to see what these black men are all about. Now you can cheer. That was terrible. Okay. Sorry, not the poem, the cheering. But, you know, like I said, God is working on all of us. Okay, hey, welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web, a.k.a. Monsieur Le Grand Papa B. Monsieur Le Grand Papa B. Ça se dit ça? Doesn't matter. Before I continue with the show, I need to remind you returning listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu's up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City of Much Music. This episode is being recorded on February 19, 2023, at 2:39 p.m. on the Sabbath day, on the Sabbath. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. If you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Excuse me. All right. All right. Okay. Now you can cheer. God, that was terrible. Okay. Ooh, we need to work on that sound effect. Okay. I'm just trying to be new. Right. Timer. Set timer. Keep going. All right. I already did the welcome to the Shut Up Podcast. I might link this in the show notes, but yo, I've been blessed with some dope ass hip hop, some great hip hop this week. First one is this while preparing for the show and trying to understand how the left and the right signal work, how these connectors I use to plug into my board, how, you know what, I'm giving you a lot of details that you don't need, some nerd shit, right? But let's just say these cables I bought to use to play the auxiliary output of my computer doesn't sound great. But while I was working on it, the point I was making is that, I discovered this thing called Underground Hip Hop Old School True School Mixtape, OMKA Volume 29 by Ray DJ 2023. Holy shit. Anyways, that shit was dope.
The second thing, and right now I'm going off the cuff. This wasn't on the on the agenda, but fuck it. I'm the owner of the podcast. KRS-One. This is like his latest album came out in 2022, February 22nd, 2022. Holy shit, a lot of 222s in there. Teach these devils. Yeah, and it's called I Am Crew 12. And yo, man, I had that shit played in the background sometime this weekend. And it was dope. It was dope. This is just, you know, when you hear it, when you go to listen to it, tell them B-Black sent you. Oh, man, fuck. Sorry. I pissed off. I didn't start the timer like I was supposed to. Okay, all right, here we go. Yeah, so let's go through the rundown sheet. No, before we do the rundown sheet, let's quick introduction just to give you some context to today's episode. Before I do that, I want to send a quick happy belated birthday or death anniversary to Huey P. Newton, February 17, 1942. And if you don't know who Huey P. Newton is, I mean, you know, add this to the list of homework. If you want to continue to listen to this podcast, add this to the list of homeworks that to the list of names you should to include in your homework. Like, do a biography on that guy. But all you need to know is, when I was a kid, my superhero started as, I remember it was Guldarak, Jazz from Transformers, Spider-Man, and then as I grew up, Huey P. Newton. Childhood hero. Well, more like teenage hero. Also this week, February 16, 1993, the world was blessed with Tupac's, I believe, second album, Strictly For My Niggas. I was about to say N-word, but yeah, Strictly For My Niggas. Great album. As you know, I am doing, for the month of February, I've been doing an homage, a tribute to rappers or their work that, I will say they were like the soundtrack of my youth, especially as the angry black guy. As the soundtrack of my pro-black era. People don't like me using the word era because it means it came to an end, but you know, soundtrack of, they were background music to, no, they were, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, I'm overthinking this shit. I'm just saying they were just tracks I remember while I was trying to figure myself out, figure things out as a black man in a white world. Okay, now, in terms of context, this is really what this introduction is all about. So for today's episode, as you notice the title, what these black men are all about is from a track by Ice Cube from his Death Certificate album called Colorblind. I'm stressing myself out as I'm doing this because I'm trying to cut out the bridge word. But when I use bridge words, it's a way to relax. Okay, anyway. What was I saying? Yeah, so this... So Black History Month, yes. So for this episode, our tribute goes to Ice Cube. Now, initially, it was going to be the Death Certificate album. But then I found myself re-listening to Ice Cube's early work. And I'm talking about America's Most, Kill at Will, Death Certificate. Okay, my favorite is America's Most. But Death Certificate, Predator, and Lethal Injection, I consider those three a trilogy worth speaking about. I guess this tribute is to Ice Cube, early era Ice Cube, the Ice Cube I know from America's Most 2, and that ended with these three albums that I just mentioned. Not to say that the other work weren't great, weren't good or anything like that, but I'm in terms of significance, like memorable in terms of impactful in my life, that if if I'm on my death, if I'm in a coma and you hear me say something about, and you hear me reciting verses from one of those four albums, that's just to show you how impactful. Don't be surprised. That's what I'm trying to say. If I'm in a coma and I do that shit, don't be surprised, because that's how impactful those albums, those body of works were to me. So for today's episode, I will, in my tribute, I will continue in the second side of the of this episode. But I noticed I called it second side and not personal thought. It's because I am stealing from, I'm borrowing a concept from Ice Cube's Death Certificate album, where he split his album into two. He called it the death side and the life side. For you children, for you kids out there, back in the days when a rapper would make or an artist would make music, it would come out on a cassette tape or on a record, and it had two sides. We didn't do that with CDs, but yeah, it had two sides, and side A and side B. And then rappers got creative and start calling it, you know, instead of calling it side B, side A, they just got creative, and Ice Cube called one side the death side and the other one the life side. But to make it even more deeper, the death side was an image of where we are now, and the life side is an image of where we need to go. By we, he means black people. And I kind of like this idea of separating the two shows into the death side and the light side. So the death side is is where we are now. And you know what? I'm just stealing the name, but it's still the same concept. So the death side, the first side, the first act of this podcast is party me is news and random thoughts. And the life side, the act two of this podcast, that's going to be the life side. You know what? It makes no fucking difference to you guys. It's just the labeling is going to be different on the when you see the show notes. That's all you need to think about. But without further ado, with that said, further ado is I will, let's start the show with the death side. So welcome to the death side version of episode 054. What these black men are all about. Okay, here we go. And when I say here we go, I mean here we go. Damn, that was loud. Let me try this again. That was like echoey. Yeah, you know what? That's related to the thing I was telling you about my cables. The sound might sound a little different, but here's hoping I'll have it fixed by next episode. Right. What I was saying about the death side, it's lifestyle. It's really, I'm just trying to figure out a great way to separate, to segment my episode, my podcast. But again, this is all background information you don't need to know. So welcome to Act One. Okay, Act One. Step one. First thing we're going to talk about on my rundown sheet is I fucking hate Twitter. What you should say is, again? Yeah, I rant a lot about Twitter. And I took notes, man, because I don't want to go on a rant. Like, I mean, I want to go on a rant, but I'm just going to focus my thoughts. Well, for the main reason I'm angry at Twitter is because they suspended my account. Not the Shut Up Podcast account, but the Be Black account. And again, yes, I got suspended for 7 days. And I think it might have been over a misplaced comma. Before, let me just give you some context. Now, when I talk about I hate Twitter, is the first thing that comes to mind is Twitter is toxic as fuck. Twitter is, and I just sent this tweet out, is like the toxic girlfriend with good pussy. So I'll complain about it. I'll tell my friends about it. She ain't no good to me. Fuck. She slept with her ex again. Fuck. She slept with the guy that she slept with the waiter, and she keeps dissing me, calling me a bitch in front of my friends. And why don't you leave her? She got good pussy. And yeah, Twitter's not that extreme, but I'm just saying it keeps showing me toxic shit. And the worst part is I keep coming back to it. That's what kills me. Toxic licks. Like, there's no fucking reason to why MTG, The Convoy, Trudeau haters, Donald Trump Jr., Donald Trump, Jordan Peterson, fucking all these pieces of shit. There's no reason why these assholes, there's no value into these assholes showing up on my timeline. But every once in a while, they'll say something stupid, and I'll feel the need to react to it like I'm going to change the stupidity, like I'm going to be able to correct these people. But anyways, that's I'm less complaining about Twitter than I am about the fact that I can't fucking let go at the moment. One reason is I'm on Twitter is because it happens a lot. Is I'm working on my triggers. One of my triggers, one of the things that sends me on Twitter is my triggers on Twitter. Twitter fingers turned into, anyways, is Twitter fingers turned into trigger, no, trigger, whatever. Is sometimes when I'm at work, and every once in a while I'll get in a situation where I have no fucking clue what my next move should be. It'll be a response to an email, it'll be a response to my boss asking me to do something, and I'll sit there in that feeling of I have no fucking clue what to do next. You know, meaning it's natural because I gotta do some research. I gotta look into it. Like the solution is not immediate, but between that period of time from when I don't know what to do and then do something about it, there's a gap between it. There's a feeling of discomfort. And that feeling of discomfort is usually assuaged. Like, that feeling of discomfort makes me feel helpless. And I distract myself from that helplessness by going on Twitter. And I guess I just tell myself that there's worse feelings out there than helplessness. Like, there's Twitter. I don't know, man. Sometimes I wish I'd take up cigarette smoking or something, like an alcohol drinking problem. Anyway, off topic. Another reason why I hate Twitter is because there's a lot of shitty people out there. And by shitty, let me give you a more specific example is I was watching, there's a video out there that showed up this week of a woman who's in a gym. She lets this dude inside the gym. So, the video is about a woman fighting off her attacker, rapist. And it's in a gym and she runs away. And you watch this video and you think that's shitty. And I'm telling myself, there's no way my experience after watching this video could get any worse. And I made the mistake of reading the comments, thinking that, you know, there'd be a lot of like-minded people. No. So this is a black girl who shared this video with the rest of us. And some of her followers were saying stupid shit like, oh, I bet he's from the island. I bet he's one of those island folks. I bet he's from the Caribbean. This is black folks. Black folks saying stupid shit. Actually, this is black Americans. Not that I like making this I'm saying black America because apparently there's a movement among, well, I'm saying movement, but it's always been like that. But there's a segment of black Americans who believe in this us versus them. And them, us, this them, it's not just white people. It's fucking black people who are not born in the United States. Anyways, reading old comment just pissed me off. Then fast forward, then I get on a post by, I'm explaining to you what got me banned from Twitter and the perfect storm to why this segment is why I hate Twitter. Anyways, yeah. So fast forward and I find a post by what's his name? Consciously. The Consciously. I'll start straight off the bat. Very articulate, intelligent, smart brother that I'm glad that I follow. He always has amazing, insightful takes. He's like very smart brother. What's the name of the guy who wrote? Whatever. Like, he's one of the good ones. No, like very, he speaks so well. Very intelligent brother. But with that said, I give you all this context. With that said, homeboy posted something on his page. Actually, I'll share it with you, right? I'll share it with you. Then I'll read the caption that he put up. Hold on, it goes, let me, okay, fuck the time. I'm a little stressed. Okay, hold on a second. First I gotta find Conch. There we go. First thing, as soon as I put Cons, first thing that shows up, and this is a popular tweet, so I won't have difficulty finding, there we go. Okay, so he shared this tweet right here, okay? I'm gonna play it for y'all.
This one's gonna get rough.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I am here to...
Okay, let me pause and say, coon alert. Warning you, coon alert, all right? Coon alert.
Rebuke the black people who live in 2023, in the 21st century, and talk about slavery constantly as if it happened to you. Mm-hmm. As if you were on some slave ship somewhere. As if you were on some plantation somewhere. You. You who hasn't even lived 40 years. You who doesn't even remember what life before the internet looked like. You who lives in the softest, most comfortable age in the history of the human race. You who lives in rich countries with rights.
You know what? You get the point. I'm not going to play the whole shit. What makes it more annoying is his mannerism. He's like the way he expresses himself, the way, you know, his the way he, the nonverbal communication just makes it more fucking annoying. And that motherfucking accent. And then Conscious Lee in his tweet, which let me just read the tweet. He goes, one day we'll have a conversation about how many immigrant perspective of black Americans are literally some white supremacist sympathizing anti-black apologist bullshit. Oh, okay, you know, I didn't read it that way. Okay, I see. Okay, when you say it like that, okay, and I guess I should have just said, yeah, I'm looking forward to that conversation. What triggered me in his response, and when I say trigger, I don't mean I attacked him in response, but what made me feel some type of way is the usage of the term, the phrase, how many immigrant perspective of black Americans. Like, I took it as, you know, you outsiders see us black Americans this way. Now, I was born in Canada. I'm used on seeing coonery in all kinds of shape and sizes, like with all different accents. Like, black Americans, they're used to like this narrow view of blackness. But as a black Canadian from the Caribbeans, I'm used on seeing black people from the motherland, who speak French, who speak English, who, like, I've seen a wide variety of black, to the point that it's why it's influenced my idea of, yeah, black folks, we ain't gonna make it until we figure out how to accept the fact that we are a diverse fucking group. But anyway, with that said, I responded to Consciously, and the point I was trying to make is exactly that. Say, bro, I guess I was trying to say, doesn't matter, he's an immigrant. The fact that he's a coon, that's his DNA. But there's something, I guess, the way I put that comma, it kind of sounded like when I read my tweet, I guess I could see that if I was Consciously or one of his followers and I'm used on being attacked and I'm just seeing a tweet that doesn't really make sense, but he does see, because I said, bro, comma, and then I said, you know, this dude's just a coon. And I think because I didn't put a comma, my point is, it got interpreted as an attack against Consciously. Like, I was calling him a coon. And next thing you know, Twitter flags me and then says, hey, back off. And I try to appeal it. And they, like, I kind of wish they would let me edit it. But anyways, long story short, I got a 6-day suspension. And I'm pissed at it. I'm annoyed, especially, you know, I'm annoyed because I hate being misunderstood. That was not the intention. That was not the impact I was going for. But, you know, history is history. Shit happens. And here we are. And because I can't defend myself on Twitter, so I'm defending myself on the podcast. So add all this, toxic black folks, being misunderstood, having my account disabled, someone that I really respect, interpreting the comments, the caption of someone I really respect on Twitter as a possible attack against me as a black Canadian / Haitian, all that perfect storm, and then boom, get kicked out of Twitter. And to make it fucking worse, I remember when I got removed, I was like, fuck it, I'm done with Twitter. I delete the icon. Not even less than an hour, I'm back on the application. Fuck, like some fucking junkie trying to feel that soft pussy. But all this to say that I hate Twitter at the moment, like I would hate a girlfriend who's toxic, who fucks on my friend, but still got, but still lets me enjoy her good pussy. There we go. All right. How much time did I waste on that one here? Okay. All right. Okay. Fuck. I hate when it's really, here we are. Sorry. Let me just try to get my timer back. Boom, 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 boom. Okay. All right, gang. That's, let's continue down through the rundown sheet. What else do I have that I want to share with you children before we get into act two? Right. Okay. So speaking of, violating, what does ASAP Rocky, Jonathan Majors, and Jaden Smith all have in common? Well, they've managed to piss off the members and the supporters of the cult of masculinity by violating a code of conduct. For one, okay, Jaden Smith is a really... I'll start with ASAP Rocky and Jonathan Majors. Both of them appeared on the magazine cover. Actually, let's be more specific. ASAP Rocky was on the cover of, was it Variety Magazine? Let me just get the facts right because, you know, I'm not ASAP Rocky. Oh, my God. ASAP Rocky. It was on the cover of... Vogue. All right, Vogue magazine. Okay, and on this cover is you have fine ass Rihanna looking, you know, just being fine, and walking, holding hands with ASAP Rocky, holding a baby. Now, what's wrong with that picture? To a normal person, you know, it's a great picture. But instead, what a bunch of motherfuckers saw was Rihanna in front and words of, "Oh, black man being emasculated." You know what? I'm not going to give credit to these people. I'll tell you what I saw. I saw a man, a proud father, holding his baby and holding the hand of the mother of his children. Not just holding his hand, but letting her shine. That's what I saw. Second, Jonathan Majors. He took a picture. Basically, he's wearing some outfit, legs crossed. And, you know, I'm not even sure. I'm sure there's a context to the image. But the point is, the pose made a lot of people go, oh, fuck, this is another attack on masculinity. And at first, I don't know why I allowed this shit to trigger myself. Okay, they said that. I saw a man just living his best life, man. Fuck, he's got two movies coming out. He's got a career in Hollywood. Fuck, Jonathan Majors is one of those actors I like to see. He's like my new Brad Pitt. What do I mean by Brad Pitt? Yeah. He's like one of those peoples that I just like to see in a movie. When you say he's in a movie, I fuck him. Good or bad, that name, yes, is motivation for me to buy some expensive ass popcorn and all that. But my point is, he's on the cover of Ebony magazine, doing his thing, looking good, looking sexy, and being a threat to your relationship. And then he got attacked with the masculine. So the reason why this shit bothered me is because, as a brother who is a highly sensitive man, like I said, I'm reading a book about that shit. As a highly sensitive man, I am used to having people who are less than. When I say less, okay, I'll explain what I mean by less than. Or who aren't even doing fucking any kind of self-work. That's what I'm trying to say. Who go through life trying to convince you that they don't feel like losers, that they're not losers. You know, they're losing while, what's that expression little brother said? Basically, they're not trying to win. They prefer to lose and look good while losing. Those kind of people, like fake, they're shallow and shit like that. As a hypersensitive male, I am used to having those kind of people say bullshit like, oh, you're not being a real man. You're violating the rules of being a real man. And it just kills me. It kills me to have them say that shit. But, you know, haters gonna be haters. Losers gonna be losers. But one thing I will say, for all you women out there who are tired of dating shitty men, if you're a woman who is like, this is not addressed to all women. This is addressed to women who find themselves trying to, okay, fuck it, I'm tired of dating whack-ass man. Well, any man who co-signs, who watches these pictures and co-signs the idea that Hollywood is emasculating our men. That's a red flag. That's a red flag. Yeah, that's a dude who's got, who was born with an image of masculinity and is trying to live up to an image and hasn't realized that he's part of a cult. Same go for the women. Now, lastly is Jaden Smith. Jaden Smith, the reason why he got in my radar is because, let me just post it here. He goes, Jaden Smith. Yeah, so he posted some video where he's crying. And to be honest with you, I am not clear on why. Oh, Jesus, the one on Karate Kid, Jaden Smith. Yeah, I forgot to link the article. And there we go. And what's the title? Watch Jaden Smith share a bizarre, no context video of crying on Valentine's Day. Okay, here we go. I'm going to play it just to see. Okay, it's a video of him. And he just zooms, but there's like landscape behind him. Oh, shit. Real tears, man. Those are real tears. Okay. And he says, I love my fans. I love our journey. This family is our fortress. Oh, wow. Okay. I should write something about emotions and how they're okay or whatever. But honestly, I just found this video in my phone. Still in love video, my bio. I don't get it. I don't get the uproar. That's what I'm trying to get at. Okay, hold on. Let me hit like just to piss off, okay? Here's my point. I can relate to people who, and I'm not saying it's a good thing. You know, this is part of my talk. I'm trying to unlearn this. But yes, I know what it's like to feel uncomfortable around a man who's crying. I know what that's about. And sometimes I'm suspicious. I can't help sometimes feel suspicious whenever a man is crying. Like I was, like on camera, I always assume that, okay, what are you trying to, you know, how'd you fuck up? Like, I always feel like there's an internal, a hidden agenda, but that's my problem. I can't relate to crying in public, but for the sake of conversation, I'm going to assume that, let's just pretend, because I know he's an actor, but let's just pretend, because I don't know what's going through his mind or whatever, but I'm just going to pretend. What if he's being sincere? What if he was just feeling emotional and said, fuck it, you know what? I could record myself being angry. I could record myself being happy. Let me just record myself crying. What's the big fucking deal? Like, if Jaden Smith is just hypersensitive man, just being a hypersensitive man, then I think what bothers me is the because I, again, made the mistake of going in the comment section. And motherfuckers were triggered. They were this again. Violated the code of conduct of the cult of masculinity. They didn't say word. They didn't use words like that. Basically, if they weren't using homophobic slurs, they were some of them. There were suspicion. What is this about? But there was a lot of what the fuck is this kid's problem? And maybe that's the point. Maybe, I don't know if he knew how people would react, but I just love that he expressed himself and a whole bunch of motherfuckers lost their mind. But all this to say, shout out to these three men for expressing themselves. And shout out to them and making and causing people to be in a situation where they should, reevaluate themselves. But they're not going to do it. They're not, you know. No, of course not. They're not going to do it. All right. Jaden Smith. Oh, speaking of men being triggered on the internet, the last person is shout out to the last person I'm going to shout out is and I'm not really a fan of this person. I mean, of their work, sorry. Maybe that's a lie, but I am a fan of what she did this week. Her name is Chelsea Handler. And she's been doing a few series about being a day in the life of a childless woman. And basically, she's just enjoying her life. What do you think? How do you think the internet reacted? Do you think they were like, good for you? Oh, my God, I'm happy for you. Blessed. You're living a blessed life. No. motherfuckers took it personally. They took it as an attack on their penis. The fuck you mean you're happy not being, like, I have a friend, she female friend, she doesn't have children, and we, fuck, where am I going with this? No, you know what, there's nowhere to go with this. It's like we're both childless people, we both love to talk about how, wait a minute, why the fuck, like, we'll joke about going, hey, you know, I want to go on some trip. And then you go, well, I can't go. So what the fuck you mean you can't go? It's not like we have children. You know, it's like we have this freedom that the friends who do have kids aren't afforded. And yeah, I guess the people with kids, I think it's the people who have kids and regret it. They're mad at her. They got mad at her. They were like, fuck, how dare you? Fucking, yeah, I would never trade my life for yours, you hussy. Calling her a miserable. You know what? Again, another situation where an artist expresses themselves and the fucking world loses their mind. I know it's not the entire world, but it's just, if I had any point to these last two segments is, fuck, let people be. Let people be, and if you find yourself triggered, figure out why. Don't make it their problem. Figure out it's your fucking issue. It'd be different if she was, nah, you know what, I didn't take that time to, I'd be different. But I'm just saying, just a little annoyance that happened this week. All right, last item I have on my rundown sheet for the deaf side is I'm going to share this video by Emlyn Pierce, that showed up on my For You page, my TikTok For You page, via Marilyn Hemingway. And it's, how am I going to, basically, this white person articulates something that I've never been able to articulate in my own words. And it's how black folks have a way better understanding of white people. By white people, I mean white races. And if you're saying, oh, he's not talking about me, I'm like, I'm probably talking about you. But you know what? I'll let fuck my caption. Here you go. I'll let him better explain it for me. Here we go.
This is such a powerful comment. It really deserves to be highlighted. This is also true of the American South. There is a saying, blacks know more about white folks than they know about themselves. Now, I can't speak about the experience of being a black person who's a victim of racism, but as a white South African who grew up under apartheid, I do know something about the psychology of being racist. Mm. Now, in apartheid South Africa, white people controlled the economy. We had all the gold mines and the platinum and the diamonds and everything else. But there was one natural resource that black people had in abundance that they had far more access to than white people. And that natural resource was the truth. Particularly the truth about white people. You see, in a racist society, as a racist, you need to constantly be tying yourself up in cognitive dissonance. You need to be contradicting yourself dozens of times a day. So in South Africa, for example, we believed that black people were lazy, that they didn't want to do any work. They just wanted to sit around all day and do nothing. But who did we get to dig the mines, to work in the factories, to drive the buses, deliver the post, build the houses? It was black people. We believed that black people were dirty, but who did we rely on to clean our houses? We believed that black people couldn't be trusted, but who was left unsupervised to look after our children? You see, what racism does is it forces the racist to act like a little child who will demand whatever they need at a particular moment, even if it's contradictory. Sometimes a black person will be like your child and you'll tell them what to do. But sometimes you'll be the child and they'll be the adult. They'll be the one making your bed, cooking your dinner, even comforting you when you're in emotional distress. Racism damages white people profoundly, and then black people are the victims of that damage. We transmit that damage into their lives. But fundamentally, black people will always know more about white people as long as white people continue to be racist, because they will have the objectivity of being able to see that cognitive dissonance from the outside. This is what the writer Rebecca Solnit says about this issue, which sums it up much better than I ever could. I always pair privilege with obliviousness. Obliviousness is privilege's form of deprivation. When you don't hear others, You don't imagine them. They become unreal. And you are left in the wasteland of a world with only yourself in it. And that surely makes you starving, though you know not for what, if you have ceased to imagine others in any true, deep way that matters.
Message!
Oh, that was deep, eh? That was deep. All right. All right. I'm going to end this segment by saying I've always been aware of this cognitive dissonance, especially when I would read books about slavery and I've always wondered what it's like to be white and own a slave. And part of the thing, and I started to think that you would need a cognitive dissonance to be able to treat another human being like they weren't human beings. Like, I imagine you would do yourself a disservice, but I imagine that you probably don't sleep well. You're probably, you know that this person is, of course, you think it's an, like, you know what? I can't say it any better than this dude said it, but he gave me the same insight I got from reading the book White Fragility. And yeah, man, it's when I think of racism that white people inherited from slavery and passed it down generation about generation, part of that mechanism that makes it possible for a human being to enslave and brutalize another human being like they weren't humans is that cognitive dissonance, that inability to see the truth, that the unwillingness to see the truth, because if you did, then you would probably check yourself, you know? Anyways, I'm just, you know, I'm gonna leave it. This is like my Black History facts for Black History thing for for today. And and this concludes the death side of today's episode. Now we will jump to, hold on a second, let me clean this up. Okay, we will jump to the second portion of our show, the light side. And if you're familiar with the episode, familiar with Shut Up Podcast, the light side is really just deeper thoughts, more personal thoughts. Here we go. Oop. There we go. All right. Okay, from this part, no timers. But here's hoping I don't take up more time than I need to. All right, so first one I feel the need to share is why do people take advantage of your kindness by... Oh, this is a tweet? Oh, fuck, I hate when I do that. Okay, wrong. Oh, I hate when I do that. Okay, sorry, I linked the wrong article. Let me see if I can find it by doing a search on Instagram. Oh, Talon Macy is on my Instagram. You know what? Okay, focus, B. I am. It's amazing. Huh? Okay, there's no search button on. Oh, sorry, one of my followers is doing stitch up videos. Okay, so. Okay, let me, why do people take advantage of our kindness? HSP. Lisa. Oh, fuck me. Hold on a second. Sorry, gang. Just trying to find a link to... Excuse me. Let me think this. Okay. I'm trying to find a link to an Instagram post while I'm talking to you. This is the second time I do this, so if you bear with me, okay, you know what? Let me see if I could play. In the meantime, I'm going to play this in the background. Hopefully YouTube won't. It'll take me less than 50 seconds to do this. Here we go. Woo! Did I not tell you this shit was dope? Okay, I'm gonna get in trouble for playing that shit. Okay, oh man, there's gotta be an easy way to. Instagram. There's got to be an easy way to, oh my God, search. There was a search feature. Okay. Nope, that doesn't work. Okay, let me see if I can search. You know what this reminds me of? When I'm troubleshooting code and someone's behind me, beside me, and I'm not telling them what I'm doing except speaking to myself, and they're like confused. There we go. Her name is, yes, I found her. The name of the person I'm looking for on my Instagram, her name is Life by Lisa, and she has this this post that I want to share with you, and it's titled, Why People Take Advantage of Our Kindness. Now, before I continue, I will copy this link so I can have it in my show notes and put it and replace it in, what I won't do is beat myself up for this. Okay, so put it in my notes. I corrected the link, and this would have been faster if I said, Life by Lisa. Her actual name is Alisa Boye. I'm sure it's an English name, but, okay. Life by Lisa. There we go. All right. Okay. Now, let me read this shit to you. Okay. Here we go. Boom. Why people take advantage of your kindness? Now, I should mention that the person's account is she's known for speaking about highly sensitive people. So she speaks for highly sensitive people, provides solutions, and she's like a psychiatrist. But here we go. All right. I'm not going to read the caption. I'm just going to read the actual post. Okay. Why people take advantage of your kindness? Let's say someone does something you're not okay with. Maybe they made a rude comment, ignored your boundaries, or didn't fulfill their end of an agreement. You're upset, and in your heart, you know this was wrong. I'm going to say something to them, you think to yourself. But then those little thoughts creep into your mind. Wait. Was it really that big of a deal? Maybe I'm imagining things. I don't want to seem dramatic if I say something. For highly sensitive people, this type of self-doubt is really common. We start to talk ourselves out of speaking up because we don't want to cause issues. We gaslight ourselves by telling ourselves it wasn't that big of a deal. And we often worry more about the other person's feelings than standing up for ourselves. I mean, I don't want them to think I'm a bad person. Why do so many highly sensitive people do this? One major reason is that we don't fully trust ourselves. We don't trust that our experience is real and valid. The majority of HSPs, highly sensitive people, have gone through life feeling like their experiences were always quote unquote too much. Our emotions were too much. Our sensitivities to clothing, scent, environment, and energy were often misunderstood and discounted by others. Oh, come on. It's not that big of a deal, we were told. So it's no wonder that as adults, we still continue to question our experience. And we often don't trust in our abilities to handle the discomfort of the confrontation. If we speak up for ourselves, how will the other person react? What if they yell? What if they have a better argument? The thought of this can feel overwhelming and stressful. This is where we decide that it just might not be worth to speak up. I know what that's like. The problem is each time we allow someone to make the rude comment, ignore our boundaries, or not fulfill their end of the agreement, we solidify the story that we cannot trust ourselves. In order for us as HSPs to heal this lack of self-trust, we must show ourselves that we can rely on ourselves. This looks like standing up for ourselves and saying, hey, that wasn't okay with me, even if our voice shakes a little when we say it. It looks like tuning into our intuition and trusting what it's telling us, and despite the pesky self-doubt creeping in. It looks like speaking up for ourselves, regulating our nervous system, and showing ourselves that we can handle it. Our self-trust grows each time we show ourselves that we have our own back. Wow, bravo, bravo. All right, okay. I should mention that, you know, even though I enjoy this content creator's post, I'm suspicious of the content creator because she made a business out of it. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm always reminded of my church days where the people who, you know what? I'm okay. This is my own handicap. I shouldn't share with this. I should just say, thank you for sharing this post. Two thoughts that came to mind is while I was reading this, I was thinking about how I was going to explain, remind everyone that this is my safe space. You're listening to my podcast. And the reason why is because I am not used to talking about this stuff out loud. I'm not used to talking about this stuff out loud without any interruption, without some asshole intervening and being, dismissing it as bullshit because, you know, I don't understand what you're talking about. Then it doesn't really, like, I'm not used to sharing these thoughts, exploring these thoughts without some fucking interruption from someone who can't relate. I should turn off the lights. And, I don't know if you noticed, but while I was reading, it's like I was attacking my own self, bracing myself for interruption. Two, I was thinking about something happened to me this week, and it's so funny. Something happened to me this week, and then I landed on this article. And it was an interaction with a white person, and they said something that put me in a situation where I was like, were you being racist? Was that like, you know, they made a joke that made me, my first instinct was to be like, is that a racial shit? You know, and maybe it wasn't, whatever, but it put me in a situation where I was like, I don't know. Were you being racial? Usually when someone says something like that, it's usually in a racist context. And that was my first instinct, because I can feel these things go through my, I can feel, process these thoughts as they're happening. Okay, after they've happened. I can feel myself going, where's this person being racist? And then another part of me, the self-preservation in me, the you're in front of white people, like, I'm wondering, like, that enslaved people, if you're an enslaved person, right, the one thing you got to do is work extra hard to convince that to your whoever owns you that that you are not a threat to them. So if they do something that pisses you off, you got to be your survival is on your ability into convincing the owner that, hey, yeah, you beat the shit out of me, you're denigrating me, you're embarrassing me, you're shaming me, but I still love you. You know, kind of like a pet. It's like, ow, but hey, I kind of like that pain. You know what I mean? It's like, you'll feel the pain, but you're like, hey, very good. Very good, Massa. So I could feel in that moment where I'm like, was that person being racial? And then getting back and remembering that, you know, oh shit, I'm in front of white people right now. And I've grown up how white people's feelings get very hurt when you accuse them of, like, it fucks things. Like, I've always hated this moment. It's like, it's the same people who, like, throw jokes at you, but when you try to reply with, you know, with honesty, they're like, they can throw it, but they can't accept it. Anyways, I just found myself realizing how there's a self-preservation in order for me to establish self-preservation, in order for me to not make a scene, in order for me to not let, in order for me to disguise my hypersensitivity or to pretend like I'm not hyper. Basically, everything she just said, she in her, you know, some people, you don't talk back. Me is I do the stupid shit where I force myself to assume the best out of this white person. So when I was like, were they being racial? The answer is no, they weren't. They weren't. No, no, it's in your head. No, you just made that up. No, it's just like, let's not make a scene, because you know how white people get when you throw in the R. The reality is, what I should be doing is, hey, as a black person, I see the fucking world a lot different. Like, you need to be careful when you make that kind of statement. You need to be more specific. You need to be a bit more specific when you say shit like that. And yeah, I guess this is the reason why I'm thinking about it is because, you know, I was overthinking it. But anyways, I remember just being in that situation, and my first instinct was, no, it wasn't racist. Just assume the best out of this white person. Assume that this white person wasn't being racist. Assume that this white person was just trying to be funny. Just assume, like, I just noticed that this mechanism I had inside me, this thing in my brain, this automatic response to, no, just assume this white person wasn't being a racist ass cracker. Because it will just get yourself in trouble. It made me realize how white people are able to disguise themselves from incompetence. Like, maybe she did say something that was, oh, okay, I'm getting too specific. Maybe this person did say something that was inappropriate, and I'm acting like it wasn't as bad as it was. But inappropriate. So it's amazing how, as a black person, is you find yourself making a distinction between, you find yourself making excuses for the incompetence of a white person because they can defend themselves by saying, no, I wasn't being racist. Oh, shit, there you go. Another black person making about race. Like, I have this joke, or I had this notion. It's like when I go to a white establishment, especially in the province of Quebec, if I walk into your restaurant and I see the sign, please wait to be seated. Now, I don't know how long my wait time is. It might be 5 minutes or more. But after a certain amount, after a finite amount of time, my brain automatically goes into, is this incompetence or is this racism going on right now? Is this, are they fucking up? Are they really bad? Do they really have a bad host, or are they like in the back, fuck, we gotta sit this nigger in our restaurant? But it's amazing how, maybe for a white person, the first instinct they have is, oh, this is sheer incompetence. Me is, am I experiencing incompetence or racism? Anyway, yeah. So it was a powerful thought, man. I was just thinking about how the intersection between racism and, or surviving racism, and as a highly sensitive black person. Yeah. Yeah. What was this? Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna skip this one. All right, okay, now let's conclude today's episode with the last shit that I had on my rundown sheet. The title of today's episode, like I mentioned earlier, this is Ice Cube. What did I write? Let me see what I wrote. I said today's episode, paying tribute to Ice Cube. Shout out to Common. I'm not sure. Shout out to Common who wrote The Bitch in You. And you would think Ice Cube would. Okay, let me establish. Okay. Ice Cube is on my top five rappers list. Not Common. Common's a dope rapper, but no, Ice Cube, top five. But specifically because of America's Most Wanted, Death Certificate, Predator, and Lethal Injection. Like, they really, the way I experienced those albums, it was really. Sorry, I just noticed myself using the word really, really. It was really, really good. I gotta work on my vocabulary. Yeah, I appreciated those pieces of work. Man, it's a great contribution to the hip hop world by Ice Cube. And you know what? Today's title was really a challenge to find because, like I said, this was like four albums to pick from. And in terms of favorite track, when it comes to Death Certificate, specifically Death Certificate, it turns I don't have a favorite track. My favorite track is the track that I'm listening to at the moment. But the one that rang out to me, I think it just happened to be Colorblind. And Colorblind is just one of those tracks that gets ignored by the general population, or that gets ignored or forgotten when and cause people to say stupid shit like, oh, how come rap doesn't speak against black-on-black violence? Which is bullshit. Fucking nice, KRS-One had a track called Self-Destruction, had a whole Stop the Violence movement, but that shit got ignored. And Colorblind is just a track with Ice Cube. It's like actually a collaboration with other rappers. And to me, it's powerful. And essentially, it's about how they don't let flags, like whether you're crypto or blood, they don't fuck with that shit. You know, they stayed out of those beef. And that's what he means when he says he's colorblind, is I'm not getting involved in this bullshit. And someone said it perfectly in one verse. He goes, I ain't contributing to genocide because I'm colorblind. And it's a powerful track. It's a dope track. And Ice Cube is a dope ass storyteller when he rhymes. I could see, like, this shit could have been a movie unto itself, just like his track Summer Vacation. But I could visualize him being at an intersection and this car pulls up behind him. And you know, and I'm trying to be a man. And, you know, I'm not trying to be a man. But, I mean, I'm saying the fact that he's not threatened at these black men pulling up on him and he's willing to wait to find out, okay, what's your problem? And, you know, they throw up a sign and we're like, oh, man, fuck, you guys, this is a set thing. Fuck it. And he drives away. Like, no, because I want no parts in this beef and in this trouble. So, I don't know, man. I'm just saying. Tribute, shout out to Ice Cube. Yeah, shout out to Ice Cube. You know, he does have other great works, great albums. Which was the one, Every Hood's the Same. Every Hood's the Same. Yeah, Gangsta Rap made me do it, that track. But these ones hit home. These ones, like, it's more personal for me. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. And, I guess I'm just going to conclude today's episode. Oh, wow. Hold on. I'm looking at my timer. 1 hour and 54 minutes. Okay. Yeah. You know what really helps when I write down what I think I want to say on paper? But that's, I'm just trying to say that this episode has been an improvement on past episode. That's really what I'm trying to get at. All right, so this concludes today's episode. Oh, you know what? Maybe I should summarize. There's no PN, no updates in terms of PN updates, Precision Nutrition, and there's no updates in terms of Project New Intro Sound. I thought I had found someone to help me, you know, with figuring out an intro beat for my podcast, but this person never got back to me. Black person too, breaks my heart. Hasn't gotten back to me, so I'm. I'm basically looking for a producer, music creator to help me. I'm on a quest right now to find a producer to help me create, one, a sound for Shut Up Podcast, and something to replace the Shut Up, but something that I could legally own. And then two, once I have that sound, then I'm going to make a dope-ass intro beat out of it for 30 seconds. Something I could use like a drop, like the Bodega Boys. Do you know every time they say, yo, do the drop, I need something I could do, I could like something to replace this shit. Shut up. Something to replace this shit. Yeah. And something to replace this no, I'm gonna keep that. Yeah, I'm gonna keep that. Yeah, something to replace this shit and that. You know what I mean? I just need something strong that I can play and say, ah, shit, Shut Up Podcast is in the motherfucking house. Tuck your chain, hide your girls, because they fucking your bitches. I don't know why I keep referring to Shut Up Podcast in the plural form, but yeah. Anyways, but that's the journey. But with all this said, this concludes today's episode. Oh, my God. Okay, I swear, one last interruption before I let you go. Every episode for the month of February, there's a tribute to a rapper. And the last two tributes I plan on doing is Dead Prez, because there's like, I think there's two more record dates before the end of February, I believe. Is there two more? I will find out. But it's the last two is Dead Prez. That doesn't make sense. Hold on a second. So on next Wednesday, The tribute will be on Dead Prez. And the last Sunday, which is the 26th of this month, will be Tupac. All right? Okay. That's on your calendar. Okay. All right. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Holler at me on Twitter at, you can still holler at me at B Blizzard. It's just going to be a while before I get back to you because, you know, cracker ass Elon Musk blocked me. And if you heard the whole episode, you know what? Whatever. My account is, I'm in Twitter. B Blizzard is in Twitter jail. Shut Up Podcast is still available. All right. Website address is shutuppodcast.com. Go to the website to find my show notes and links to all the beautiful things that I've covered on today's episode. To subscribe to this podcast, did I say email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com? I can't remember. Okay, let's pretend I just did. 411@gmail.com. To subscribe to the podcast, just use the RSS feed that's on the website or go to Google or Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Yo, peace.